I'd like now to welcome Anna Farkas. She's founder of The Upstart Crows, and she's director of their production of Julius Caesar, which opens this Friday. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Hi.
And I'd like to welcome Sterling White and Anna Hansen, who are actors in the production of Julius Caesar. Welcome.
Hi.
So, how did The Upstart Crows begin?
Our particular group started up last fall with a workshop of scenes from Twelfth Night, which is one of Shakespeare's comedies. I've been doing work like this for over 10 years now. I started as a youth actor in a similar group, and as I got older, I got more interested in the directorial aspects of it, and when we moved here, I wanted to start a similar group to give other kids a chance like I had to get really involved with the works of Shakespeare and fully understand them.
Now, is this a full production of Julius Caesar, or is it one of those abridged productions?
It's uncut. It's the full play, as it would have been done in Shakespeare's time.
Right. I only ask because when I was in elementary school, we actually did the abridged version of Julius Caesar and of Macbeth. How did you call yourself the Upstart Crows?
Oh, that's one of Shakespeare's contemporaries had written a poem on his deathbed that was lashing out at a lot of kind of the playwrights who weren't university educated and people like that. And he did not like Shakespeare for becoming so popular and being so not formally educated. So he wrote a poem in which he called Shakespeare an upstart crow, beautified with our feathers, is what he said.
So
we kind of felt that was an appropriate name for us, as many people feel the children can't do Shakespeare, and it's something that, you know, you need a full university education to understand, but it's something that was originally written for the people and for everyone's enjoyment.
Very interesting. Now, Sterling and Anna, have you performed Shakespeare before? Have you been both acting for a while?
I was in the last production that this group did with Midsummer's Night's Dream. That was the first time I started acting, so I haven't been doing acting for very long. This is the second time. Yeah.
Well, my first production of Shakespeare was in Twelfth Night, their first play here, and I liked it a lot, so I started coming back. But I had been acting before that in a small group, I'm not sure what they call themselves anymore, but the Santa Fe Playhouse, and that was the first time I did acting.
Yeah, what are the roles that each of you play?
I play some small roles, as well as Portia, Brutus' wife.
And I play Brutus.
And you play Brutus, and Brutus is an honorable man.
Yes, very honorable.
Now, tell us about the role of Brutus and then how you entered that role as an actor.
It was kind of a bit, I don't know, it was kind of big, and I was a bit like, oh no, I have to memorize so many lines. But after you get sort of into it, it's kind of easier to get into. Acting it out helps a lot to like get into the piece and then see what's motivating your character. For Brutus, I think it's mostly he needs to sustain his honor and to uphold the Republic of Rome, and so that's mostly why his motivation throughout the play, and sometimes he gets a little bit off track, but I think he tries to stay true to that as well as he can.
And what about Portia? What's she like?
She's kind of a strong character. She and Brutus are first cousins, so they're the only love match in the play. So that kind of says something, that she is in a lot of love with Brutus, and I don't know, I feel connected to her in a way, because she's strong, and she, as I said before, she's devoted to Brutus, and she notices what he does. She can tell when he's distressed, which he is in the play. So when she notices he's acting differently, she calls him out on it in the scene we're in. And she starts out kind of jokingly, like, he says it's not good for you to be out this late, and he's out this late. So, but as it goes on, she gets really upset that he's not answering her. He's not paying attention to her. So by the end of the scene, they're hugging and apologizing, and Brutus is saying he'll tell her everything. And that's why I like Portia. She gets things done.
Now, do the two of you want to do maybe a little piece of your scene, Brutus and Portia from Julius Caesar?
Sure.
Sure.
Brutus, my lord.
Portia, what mean you? Wherefore rise you now?
It is not for your health thus to commit your weak condition to the raw cold morning.
Nor for yours neither. You have ungently, Brutus, stolen from my bed. And yesterday at supper you suddenly arose and walked about, musing and sighing with your arms across. And when I asked you what the matter was, you stared upon me with ungentle looks. I urged you further, then you scratched your head and too impatiently stamped with your foot. Yet I insisted, yet you answered not, but with an angry wafture of your hand gave sign for me to leave you. So I did, fearing to strengthen that impatience, which seemed too much enkindled, and withal hoping it was but an effect of humor, which sometime hath its hour with every man. It will not let you eat, nor talk, nor sleep. And could it work so much upon your shape as it hath much prevailed on your condition, I should not know you, Brutus. Dear my lord, make me acquainted with your cause of grief.
I am not well in health, and that is all.
Brutus is wise, and were he not in health, he would embrace the means to come by it.
Why, so I do. Good Portia, go to bed.
Is Brutus sick? And is it physical to walk unbraced and suck up the humors of the dank morning? What, is Brutus sick? And will he steal out of his wholesome bed to dare the vile contagion of the night, and tempt the roomy and unpurged air to add unto his sickness? No, my Brutus, you have some sick offense within your mind, which by the right and virtue of my place I ought to know of. But upon my knees I charm you, by my once commended beauty, by all your vows of love, and that great vow which did incorporate and make us one, that you unfold to me, yourself, your half, why you are heavy, and what men tonight have had resort to you. For here have been some six or seven who did hide their faces even from darkness.
Kneel not, gentle Portia.
I should not need if you were gentle, Brutus. Within the bonds of marriage, tell me, Brutus, is it accepted I should know no secrets that appertain to you? Am I yourself, but as it were, in sort or limitation, to keep with you at meals, comfort your bed, and talk to you sometimes? Dwell I but in the suburbs of your good pleasure? If it be no more, Portia is Brutus' harlot, not his wife.
You are my true and honorable wife, as dear to me as are the ruddy drops that visit my sad heart.
If this were true, then I should know this secret. I grant I am a woman, but withal, a woman that Lord Brutus took to wife. I grant I am a woman, but withal, a woman well-reputed, Cato's daughter. Think you I am no stronger than my sex, being so fathered and so husbanded? Tell me your counsels. I will not disclose them. I have made strong proof of my constancy, giving myself a voluntary wound here in the thigh. Can I bear that with patience and not my husband's secrets?
O ye gods, render me worthy of this noble wife.
A little clip from Julius Caesar with Sterling White and Anna Hansen. Can you tell our listeners what actually is going on, what Brutus is involved in?
So Brutus is a senator of Rome, and he's met by another senator of Rome, and this other senator convinces him that they need to kill Caesar, who's kind of the lead man. And so right before the scene, all the other conspirators have just been to Brutus's house, and it's 3 a.m. And they've decided what they're going to do, and they've talked about it. And then they leave, and Brutus is kind of meditating a bit. And then Portia enters, and he's a bit like, oh, wow, wait, you're not supposed to be up right now.
Right.
Why are you here?
And, meddling in my conspiracies to kill. Okay, so Julius Caesar, ladies and gentlemen, it's being performed this Friday and Saturday at 7 in the evening, and also Saturday and Sunday at 2 in the afternoon at the Scottish Rite Temple. So that's a big day Saturday.
Yes.
Doing it at 2 and 7 o'clock. Now, Anna Farkas, where are you in school? Where are all of you in school?
I'm a rising senior at St. John's College.
I'm a rising 8th grader at Santa Fe School for the Arts and Sciences.
Rising junior at ATC.
Rising junior means it's summer vacation.
Yep.
Not quite a senior yet, I'm going to be.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you all for being with us on the Radio Cafe. And if people want to find out more about the production, more about the Upstart Crows, what do they do?
Well, we have a website. It's upstartcrowsofsantafe.org, and we're also on Facebook. So you can follow us there, and we post information about upcoming shows. And if you want to get involved or you know someone who does, there's information about our intros. There are no auditions. Anybody who wants to do it can do it, and they'll get a part.
Really?
Yeah. So sometimes we have multiple casts, like with this one. We've got two different people playing Antony, and they trade off nights.
Oh, okay.
So we want to give everyone the opportunity to get involved with Shakespeare.
UpstartCrowsOfSantaFe.org. Anna Farkas, founder and director of Julius Caesar, Sterling White, and Anna Hansen, actors. Thank you all so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.